It's 2023 and let me officially say Happy New Year to you. Apologies for the long break, but we are back and we're better. It's 39 days to the 2023 general elections. All hands must be on deck to ensure a seamless election. But what also is the attitude of many Nigerians towards the election? And what is the assurance that many Nigerians will be out on the 25th of February to exercise the franchise and vote for their candidate? All these and more is what my guest, Mr. Yinka Adeniran, a journalist and a public affairs analyst, sheds light on and into the matter. Enjoy.
Good day, Mr. Yinka. Thank you for joining me on this episode. After a long while, we're meant to have this conversation like last year, but I guess circumstances, and it's such a privilege to be here. Just straight to the point, looking at INEC, but about 40 days to election now. And of course, a lot of things has been happening. INEC is doing theirs. Political parties are doing theirs. Candidates are doing theirs. The citizens are doing their own part. But I want to look at INEC. I want to look at the citizen. Democracy started in 1999. Though, according to history, according to what has been, we've had some slight democratic form of, you know, elections. But looking back from 1999, looking at the elections we've had, we see this voter apathy. It seems more like people are not, let's just go and vote, you know, let's just go and, like, you have to wind people. And of course, Electoral Act came. And it came like a booster for the nation. Everyone was happy. You know, it was like, okay, I think this is good. And there seems to be some sort of energy with citizens. Now, let me get your reaction first. What do you think the energy is like with the citizens?
Well, let me start by apologizing that it's taking this long for us to be able to do this. It's what has really been on my mind. It's something I support and I love this idea we're running. So I apologize. And I also want to thank you for showing understanding. It's not been easy, you know. Running here and there, doing a whole lot of things just to make ends meet and, you know, development agenda here and there. So I thank you for that. Yes, the election is here. And I'm sure if this discussion had been on before now, the whole concept, the whole views would have been different.
Yeah.
Either anybody likes it or not, it is election year, except God is changing that. And we're here talking about these politicians are there finalizing, it's not about strategy, and finalizing, putting finishing touches, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, just as we have it. Yes, I think as expected, what we call voters apathy is gradually changing. Now, I want to base that on one or two things that we see. Unlike what we used to have 1999 down today, that we have one, two major parties taking the show. And looking at it even from the presidential slots, we're talking about three, four major political parties now contesting, and we're discussing the issue somewhere. And it was easy for all of us to agree that there might not be anything like a landslide victory for any party this time around. Mm. It's going to be seriously hard fought for majority of the parties. The key places, the major areas that used to be dominated by particular party due to change of allegiance, switch of interest here and there among the party players and politicians, will result in a kind of a sharing of the votes to come from those regions. So I was saying that what we call voters apathy is changing. And I want to base this on going by the volume and the level of awareness. A lot of the rallies that these political parties are holding, organizing here and there. You see, look at the turnout. You want to talk about that of the APC. You want to talk about that of the PDP. You want to talk about that of the even Labour Party. So you see people coming out. Yes, people will tell you they keep renting crowd. They keep, because it's an economy. Mm. Election in itself is an economy.
Wow.
What people will make during the period of election, some people will not make it until the next 4 years. The kind of money, you know, since this electioneering process started, starting from the days of congresses, delegates, or what do you call it, a lot of people smile to the bank with millions. And, you know, up until the end of the election, before then, many people did not make that much.
Mm.
So people see this as economy that they can key into. And so when you say voters apathy, it's too early for us to say voters are not interested until during the election. Yes, I agree. And I keep crying every day. We have volumes of PVCs that people would not come and collect, that people are not coming. Yes, for us, it's the norm and it would always be like that. People would give you different reasons why they've not gone to collect their PVCs. One, many people are dead. Two, a lot of people have relocated. Three, people change location. Four, some people don't even remember where they did it. A lot of factors, a lot of things that aren't working in our system would make that. So for me, voters apathy is too early to say people would not vote. But going by the trend, is it those making the music? Is it those printing the flyers? Is it those doing the jingle? Is it the economy is moving? Though I would say that the kind of the way it used to flow, the economy used to be more robust than we currently have. More robust in the sense that even when you listen to the radio, when you see the newspapers, before now, you hear the jingles, you see the billboard, the posters, 2-3 months to election, you see it very heavy, very heavy. But now, there is decline, yeah, paucity of funds. A lot of these politicians, they are not ready to start throwing around the funds like they used to do. 6 months to election, they have started throwing around the fund, you know, spending the money. And so now, maybe some of them are really waiting. So, we would not say people are not really interested. We will not say they are not going to be interested, because what we only need to assess their interest with the current level that we have in the process is just about the turnout, about the interest. When you talk about politics now, election, people are interested, people are talking. You hear people saying, this is my candidate, you hear people saying, this is my candidate, you hear people, you know, rooting for one candidate, you see them publicly defending who they believe in. So that should tell you that, yes, people are electoral conscious. As much as we are not interested, whatever they do, no, that is not it. Recently, nobody saw Labour Party throwing up a candidate like Peter Obi. And just between the time the man moved from PDP to Labour Party, look at it, look at the clout, look at the social media. Yes, people will say Labour Party is popular on the social media, whatever, whatever. Look at the crisis rocking the PDP, Atiku. Yet, some people are still standing strong and standing by to say, yes, this is our candidate, this is our preferred candidate, and we're going to stick to this, irrespective of what some persons are saying, what some people are saying, we're still going to stick to it. Look at the candidate of the APC. Some people say, have the mentality that he will steal all our money. He has eaten enough. He has stolen enough. Yeah, some people are standing. They are out there saying, this is the man we need. This is a solution. Look at political programs. Go to political discourse. You see people coming with fresh ideas, fresh information on why they feel this is who will do this job. And when you look at the summation of all their interests, all of them, either for Labour Party, either for APC, either for PDP, either for NNP, those are the four major parties I want to mention for now. We still have some others with presidential candidates. You see, one of the key things, the baseline for all of these four major parties and their supporters pushing for them, see, is still the point that they know that they believe that their candidate has a key to turning around their current situation, to bring about a kind of change that will better the life of the people. So by and large, you see, people are still interested. People are still so much interested. Now, even with the entrance of the Labour Party, you can imagine it's never been like that. The social media is agog with Peter Obi. So, and you know, the youth, that is the terrain of the youth. What does that tell you? They are so conscious. Even if they will not vote, even if you not translate to vote, they still know how to throw brickbats at people. They still know how to wash some other persons just because they want to push their candidate. Yes, it's too early for us to say, will that translate to electoral victory or not? But the current stage we have, they are doing well in doing what they are doing. The current stage we have is pushing your candidate, selling your candidate, showing interest in a particular candidate, pushing for a particular candidate, showing the willingness to do. And, you know, that's the stage we have. And that is the stage everybody go to all joints. People talk about it. The volume of people talk about, there shouldn't be election, we are not interested, has declined. Unlike what we used to have. So people are really talking about it. People are really talking. Ask people. Just throw it. People will give you, they might have reasons to defend one candidate. They will also have reasons to condemn other candidates. That's to tell you they are politically conscious. So for me, voters are party or not, it's too early for us to conclude that people are not interested, going by the current stage of the process that we are in.
Mm. Now, as far as popular participation is concerned, I think it's agreeable to say that talk is cheap. So I want to ask, what does it take to make people want to come out and vote? What will it take? I know that INEC has assured several times, you know, media organizations on TV, on radio, radio presenters, TV presenters always in their shows saying that, you know, there's need to, for everyone to get their PVC. But what does it take to build a genuine interest in people to want to come out and vote on an election day?
It takes a whole lot. It takes a little. Maybe I put it takes a little whole lot. What is that little whole lot? You as a person. Little drops of water makes a mighty ocean. It takes you to make up your mind that yes, I want to play my role. It takes I to make up my mind that I want to play my role and I'm going to play it. Come whatever. Yes, people will tell you. I remember back in those days, on election day, government would declare public holiday. But people that should vote, you see a lot of the young guys playing football. That's the day they enjoy football. You see a lot of men, especially in the southern part here, a lot of them, that's when they sit down at home and rest. They sleep. You see a lot of people using it to watch movie in their house. Some people, it is gist. They spend the time with the family and all the rest. You know, that used to be. But until you and I now mix up our mind to say, okay, it is my responsibility. It is my duty. It's my service to my nation. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. Yes, people will tell you that a lot of times they have been voting, their wishes are not reflected. It is changing. It is changing. That's why you see INEC introducing a whole lot of dynamism, dynamics here and there. Now, it used to be PVC. Before when we started, it used to be one logbook. You go and look at it, your name, rigging was possible. At another time, they introduced PVC, and now it is Beavers. You know, we are moving. The democracy of about over 2 decades, moving, growing at this rate, is not doing badly. Looking at our population, looking at infrastructural deficit and a whole lot that would have made it easier. We're talking about people making up their mind. And why am I saying you and I making up our mind to play our role? It is we determining, we deciding to look away from whatever we call the challenges. I've had people tell me that, yes, they want to collect their PVC. The process was difficult, was cumbersome, was crazy. And they got pissed off 2 days. I went there, I wanted to collect. I couldn't collect. I've had people say, I got to this place. They say it's another place. I got there. Nobody was there. People tell you a lot of stories. But yet, you see how people who would go there get it effortlessly. We see how people who go there who have different stories as to how they got their PVCs. So it's always a combination of the two. So the challenges may be there in terms of access to the facilities. The challenges may be there in terms of securities. Are we sure thugs will not come up? When we started, it used to be ballot box snatching. You see cutlass, you see gun, they just go. People are afraid, they don't want to go. But the level we are running now, the coming election, if the words of INEC is what we can run with, it means even if you steal, you have stolen zero, the whole vote there will be cancelled. So you see, they are trying to neutralize all those things that will make thuggery violence attractive, that will make all of these vices the in thing or the shortcuts to victory. INEC is coming up with a lot of innovations, coming up with ideas. All other stakeholders are working hand in hand, the security operatives, you know, they are working hand in hand to make sure that some of these things are less attractive. It used to be vote buying. We don't know what is coming up in 2023 because some of these things will become more difficult, even for people, both those that want to play games, those that, yes. So what does it take to make people more conscious? It takes you and I to be determined to do it. Yes, on the part of government, this is what they should, they know what to do. On the part of the electoral bodies, they know what to do. And I want to say they are doing what they should do. But irrespective of what they do, if you and I fail to do what we should do, it will amount to nothing.
So now the question now is that, do you think a good number of citizens have this understanding that there's need for responsibility on my part on an individual level? Would you say that we have a good number of Nigerians who have to understand that it takes my personal responsibility?
We really do. Nigerians are wise. They are intelligent. We only wait for body language from of the man at the top, seeing that if we have the kind of leaders that have the political will to achieve results, Nigerians, you see them keying into it. Nigerians really do. If Nigerians don't, we won't have increase in the number of voters registered. Voters registers won't be increasing. Yes, some people are slothful. Some people are, they wait for until the die minute, until last. In fact, I met someone recently who was telling me that in the South here, what happened? They don't give holidays. That in the North, they give them public holiday, either to go and do registration or even to go and collect their PVC. He said he's been to the South, he's waiting until the state government declare holiday so that people would go. You know, it's not still because, but the job, whatever, will not make. We all need to understand that we have a duty to play. If this country must change for the better, if it must become a country of our dream, we need to know that we have roles to play. And one of the key roles is playing our roles and not giving up. A lot of times people give up. A lot of persons have given up on this nation. They just believe that the current crop of our politicians will have cannot bring about the desired change.
But can we blame them?
We can't blame them. We can't blame them and we won't commend them. Now, we can't blame them in the sense that based on what they have seen, we are all product of our experiences, what we've been through, what we've tried, and kind of effort we've made in time past, and the kind of results we're getting. Okay? And now, but we won't commend them in the sense that the Yorubas will say that, can I say it in Yoruba?
Definitely.
Now, what that means is that it's too early to give up when you have not achieved the desired result we want to achieve. I just tried to describe it That's not the exact translation. So we won't commend ourselves for failing to do what we should do. Now, as usual, the minority, if whatever we end up in doing becomes the minority, we will have our say. The majority, even if they are on the negative, they will have their way. That's just a simple rule of democracy. How long that will last now depends on us. How long we want to stay, how long we want to do this. So for me, we must learn that we have roles to play and we must stand up to play those roles. Whether we play it or not, whatever the consequences of what happened, we are the first victim of either playing or not playing our roles. So the project of nation building is what we have to do. You know, we have roles to play. But are we playing it? Even when you are not playing those roles, I assure you, you are playing it.
You made mention of nation building, and that caught my attention because I feel that we, many times as Nigerians, many Nigerians don't have full grasp of that understanding that it's about building and not so much that something just happened overnight. Because as it is now, expectations are high because of what we're experiencing now. So people are just expecting that things will happen overnight. How do we manage the expectations of citizens?
Yes, expectation of citizens is best managed when what they think, what they expect is what they get. But in the case of disappointment, it becomes hard to manage it. Because what it means is that, I remember when this current administration came in for the first term, you will recall, a lot of people were trekking all around. People trekking kilometers, tens of kilometers. What happened? Where are they now? You know, because the expectations were not met. What would have expected that when this administration is rounding off, it should be like a kind of challenge, trekking challenge for this person. But yes, some people, it's not as if it is all that bad. When you weigh the current situation, statistics, when you weigh it with what is happening globally, Nigeria is not doing badly, not too badly. When you weigh the cost of things, cost of this, cost of that, economy, when you weigh it based on international standards here and there, you see that Nigeria is not doing bad. How many recessions are we talking about? But politics is local. I will not rate our performance on maybe the errors. I will not say because what we did not do compared with what they did not do in advanced economy, I now feel that our own is no. I look at so far so good. What have we achieved? What gains have we brought? What positives has been added? What was the situation on ground before the current administration came up? What is the current situation? Where are we going? You know, these positives, yes, the international challenges, situations across the globe may make it look like nothing has been achieved, but in all honesty, there is a whole lot. But yet, we still look at it and say, yes, this is the current administration where we have increase in the rate of jackpots. Almost everybody wants to leave this country. Suddenly, insecurity became the order of the day. Some of the things that I felt, okay, whatever it is, we'll find solace in something. That thing that is giving people solace, not making people to think, suddenly disappeared again. And people were just lost. So, but in all of it, we need to understand that building this nation is not just left for politicians. And it begins with this electioneering process. It begins with who and who will become this, will become that. Even people we trusted so much, we have so much confidence in, they have disappointed us. Is that enough for us to give up? Even people that we work so much for, they disappointed us in delivering on the kind of dividends that we expect, in bringing about the kind of transformation that we look forward to. Even for some of them to fulfill some of the things they promised to do, that they have failed. We look at it and we saw that they have failed. And so a lot of discouragement. But don't forget, either they fail or they achieve success or they are successful in whatever area, it is still the process of nation building. So looking at another opportunity to give people fresh mandates to lead us or to mislead us, to direct us or to confuse us, whatever we want to give them mandates to do in the next 4 years, we have roles to play. If I fail to do it, I do not have the logical standing. I do not have the right. Let me use that word. I do not have the right to begin to call to question people I do not have a say, either for or against, in their emergence. And that is where we always miss it. As Nigerians, we do not have the right to call them to order. We do not have the right to question them. If we fail to play our role as expected, especially during elections, because we've been so disappointed, we are too disappointed, we are super disappointed, and we just want to leave it all. Yes, if we leave it all, what will be, will be. And when what will be, it's either you get worse or the other way. So, and if decision now did not go the way you expect it, instead of you calling them, Instead of people telling you, Shebi, you are the ones who voted for these people. Shebi, you are the one who canvassed for these people. Asking them questions. This is what you told us you would do. And that was why we supported you. We would have lost that right, that power, because we do not play our own role. Yes, it's our franchise. Yet, it is also a duty we owe this country for us to do. So, nation building, even when you think you are sleeping, when you feel you are not interested, when you feel you just want to sit down and look, you are building. I remember that poem, Building the Nation, Oswald Mitchell or something. I can't remember the author of the poem. It was a story of a top civil servant and a driver. You know, the two of them, they went for an event. The driver, feeling very hungry, feeling very tired, you know, was doing his job, driving the oga here and there. When they got to the event, the oga too, the top government functionary, was so hungry. And when he got to the event, sumptuous meal, all of the delicacies you can think of. He ate to stupor. He ate and he overheard all that as much as he could. Meanwhile, the driver is still there, languishing. At the end of the day, when they left the place, the two of them left the place, they got home, they developed ulcer. The same problem caused by different things. What caused the ulcer of the driver? Hunger. What caused that of the top government functionary? Too much delicacies. And they ended up, and the two of them, government officials, working towards the same project, building the nation. I will not forget that poem. It's been a long time, an old poem. So either you do it or you don't do it. You are building the nation. So the onus is now on us to determine how and what we want to build. And unfortunately, many times, when election comes and go like this, where we have always failed is calling these people to order. We always wait until the end of the tenure before we begin to ask them questions. It's not supposed to be. That is the area I think we need to build up. We need to enlighten and encourage ourselves as citizens. Even the government must create opportunities, must create avenue where periodically, maybe quarterly or 6 months intervals or whatever, where we can call these people a round table, ask them questions, ask them this: how far? What are you doing? What have you done? What you said you wanted to do? How far? Not until after the end of their tenure. Not until when it's too late, they want to seek our vote again. And that's why you see that many times we are always, after the election, we are lost. The governor and the government, the disparity becomes wider. It only closes up during the electioneering process, campaign, voting, and after that, it begins to widen. So, but it's not supposed to be. It's something that we should reactivate, we should log into, we should tap, avenue we should use periodically. The government must even come up with a policy. At so-so time, let every lawmaker, let everybody in position of authority, go back to your constituencies, go and brief them. Is it going to be 6 months interval? Get a feedback. Tell them what we are doing. Until we get there, we will not be able to spur the interest of the people. We will not be able to. It goes beyond what we read in the news. Goes beyond what we see on the TV. Goes beyond what we just see them drive around. No. Until we take governance up onto that level. So these are the areas I feel as we move into another political dispensation. If government can bridge this gap of legalizing it, backing it up with laws to say, okay, every 6 months, every quarter, they close up the National Assembly, close up all the state assembly, even if it's just 1 month, even if it's just 3 weeks, everybody go back to your constituency, go and brief your people on what we are doing, get a feedback from them on what they want, what are we doing rightly, what are we doing wrongly. Then we'll reconvey, we'll start from work. So you see, the 6 months, they have briefed our people. Another 6 months, when you come back again, you call the people again, you know, you are bridging it. Not like the one which we have. If you are not a politician now, when you, after casting your vote, that's the end. If you are not a member of any political party, because you won't be attending party meeting, yes, they will tell you yes. After they are sworn in, they go back to go and do thank you visit. They attend political meetings. They brief their members. It goes beyond that. For everybody that is elected into any political office, the votes that brought the person in goes beyond that of the members of the party. You don't have to belong to a political party before you cast your votes for any particular candidate of your choice. So if you are briefing your members, who are members of your party, if you are briefing them during your party meetings, what happened to the members of the opposition? What happened to those that do not belong to any political party and yet voted for you or even voted against you? You also owe them that duty to brief them on how far progress you are making.
Let's shift the post to INEC now.
Great.
As it is now, how independent is INEC? How do you rate the independence, the true independence of INEC?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, INEC has not come out to say they are not independent.
Okay.
And if INEC has not come up to say they are not independent, or they are afraid, or they are crying out foul, that somebody is chanting them, or somebody is doing this, is doing that, there's no need for us too, when they have not come out to cry foul. So yes, to the best of our knowledge, to the best of what is on ground, to the best of what is on ground, yes, how else could they be? This is what we need to make election. If you know the budget of INEC, how much they demanded to prosecute election, you wonder, for crying out loud. And that's just for this period of election. After that, the money, the resources, the materials, the fund, everything, who accounts for them? But do you expect INEC? Yes, somebody has proved it right. I remember Professor Atairu Jega, the election he conducted, the incumbent who appointed him lost the election. At least that's the litmus test. Yes, you say it's one out of whatever. I do not see with the kind of things the current administration is endorsing, bringing on board, encouraging, just like the administration of Goodluck Jonathan also did. I do not think if the current administration lost election, it will be easy for them to rig or manipulate their way in. Because in terms of the beavers, in terms of the technology they are introducing, in terms of fund, one of the ways you can make them, you can cripple INEC is to stifle them of funds for them to prepare for the election. Mm. So for me, if INEC is not crying out to say somebody is rechanting them, somebody is not cooperating, somebody is not collaborating, and they are not making headway, they are not making progress, I don't think we should start raising that needless fear that INEC is not independent. As we all know, whoever is going to head INEC, members of the board and people that will serve in INEC, they are to be appointed by the government of the day. So irrespective of who appoints them, the kind of job they want to do, it's about delivering. If there's a framework that they will need to follow to execute their task, then how easy is it for anyone, irrespective of who appointed them, to manipulate the process? If you have a process, if you have a system that is functional, that is normal, then it will be difficult to be manipulated. So that's how I say it. So
as it is now, looking at how INEC has been coming from, looking at where they've been coming from, they've done a whole lot. Just like you said, the funds have been released and INEC has been giving us updates. Just
I cannot authoritatively tell you how much has been released. Let me put that for the record. I cannot say categorically how much of the fund they requested, except I...
Well, in the budget as of last year, it was 305 billion.
So I can't tell you authoritatively. I think the old news is there just for us to Google. I don't have the exact level. So I don't I don't want to sound like I said all the things they needed, gotten.
And that's where I'm going now. Looking at the antecedent of INEC and how they've been employing all of this and briefing us on their development, can we say that INEC, as it is now, understand the responsibility before them?
Oh, sure. Even the current INEC chairman knows the task in his hands. It's gotten to the level whereby failing the country in terms of election is now a taboo. Is that what you will not escape? Yes, everybody, they understand the task at hand. It's election, you know what it means. It's a transition period, it's a time when you rejig, it's a time when you refresh, it's a time you listen to the yearnings, desires of the people. Yours is just to ask, what do you want of all these options? Okay, this is what you wanted, take it, have it. That is just what INEC is supposed to do. It's not supposed to influence, okay, I will help you to get it. I won't help you to get it. INEC is just supposed to be like an umpire. You know, you're organizing a contest between people and you're saying, okay, all of you, this is a contest. This is a game plan, or now these are the rules of the game. I make sure the rules of the game are not violated. While I also observe that there's no infringement, there's no playing against the rule before we determine who the winner is.
So election is coming. And of course, just about some days back, INEC said there's a security situation in the country which may lead to cancellation or postponement, after which they came later to say, you know what, this election will hold. But we can't deny the fact that there's a security challenge in the country. And I think many people will agree that security is one of those things that is needed to be employed. Looking at the antecedents of how elections have been, just like we made mention, ballot snatching, which is not possible right now, looking at the Electoral Act. But looking at the current atmosphere in the country, security-wise, what do you think the election will look like? I know there have been assurances, but what do you think the election will look like?
Security still remains a key factor that can undermine the election. Yes, I'm aware that all the security apparatus, security agencies, they are doing their best to make sure that insecurity does not affect the election. But the truth be told, when you hear there is gunshots, there is crisis somewhere, no matter who you love, no matter who you want to vote for, you rather prefer to sit in your house, lock up your door, drink your gari jejeli, rather than just fall victim of stray bullet or whatever. May God not make us a victim of such situation. So insecurity is a big threat, if not addressed. It is a big threat. a big threat in what sense? Aside from those that would come to vote, what even about those INEC officials that will be going? What even about the security officials that will be going? Not all the security officials that you see at polling units, whatever, are harmed. Some of them just go, especially women, you see them just in uniform. Some of them just holding truncheon. Some of them nothing, they just sit down. Yes, they too don't want to fall victim in case of Burubu. Yes, you see the apathy. If you are not sure that so-so place, there's likely to be attack, violence, whatever. People would rather... So insecurity, aside from the security of the voters, of the electorate, even officials, other stakeholders, don't forget, election is not just about voting. It involves a whole lot of other persons. We have INEC officials that will be on duty. You have the media that will be on duty. You have security operatives that will be on duty. You have observers, both local and international, that will be on duties. You have some other essential workers that will be on duty. All of them, you want to put them at risk? Even when the security situation is not favorable, you see some of these local and international observers, they will pull out. Just the way electorate too, that should go and vote, just the way they will pull out too. So are we going to say, let's leave only the security operatives and INEC officials to go and face the security challenge? So security is a big challenge anytime, any day. I remember for this reason, the former president, Goodluck Jonathan, had to postpone his election in 2015 by some weeks. Just on this. Yes, saying it that election will not hold sends a whole lot of signal to people. Some people are really wondering with election hold is a normal thing. Some people are skeptical. Will it hold? Will it not hold? Will there be fine? Just the normal thing. But people who are really investing, people who have really mobilized, who have really spent, who have really come up with a plan to say, okay, this is how much we're spending, this is where we're going, that they've planned their movement. And you come in to tell them that you now want to stretch it again. It means extra effort, extra task, extra this, extra that. Do they have the means? Do they have the capacity? So these are some of the things. So when you just suddenly say, everybody even want to relax. You see, it will get to a point that everybody just want this noise about election just to die down. Let life just continue. Yes, it will get to the tempo and it's getting there gradually. You know, this is mid-January. If the presidential election is just February, we're talking about 24, just about 1 month and how many days? So, you know, and in another 2-3 weeks or so, some couple of weeks now, campaign and everything would stop. So you know what that means? So it's already in the top gear, everything by end of January. When it gets to February, everything was right, you know. Even those you have not been hearing the annoyance, you hear them 20 times in 1 minute. People you think they have not been campaigning, they have not been, no, they are amassing fund. They want to challenge their fund. You just begin to hear them here and there, few days to the election, so that at least the message you hear last will resonate more in your mind.
Just one last one. So we've talked about security. What are other things, very important things, that needs to be in place for this election to be successful?
Yes, one, I know God is always on our side. We are very, very religious in the country. Even though are we really honest in that regard? Yes, I'm sure somebody will say, yes, we need God. Yes, we really do. We really need God so much. Yes. Then I think another thing that needs to be in place is yes, security, like we've talked about. Then we also need the willingness on the part of the people, the readiness on their part. You know, we just want the election just to be an avenue whereby I'll just go cast my vote and just go back and, you know, after casting the vote, just and let life continue. We have claims that people vote, they still go to work, they just stop by, vote, and life continue as if nothing happened. They only wait for result. You know, we know it's going to be public holiday. Yeah, we know a whole lot going to come with a lot of fun. They also need to know in whatever we do that Nigeria belongs to all of us. We need a kind of change of orientation. These so-called desperate politicians, they're still going to use people, fellow Nigerians, to cause mayhem on other Nigerians. We need people to have a kind of change mindset, to be determined that irrespective of what is on the table, irrespective of what I stand to gain, the interests of the country stand utmost. What is the essence of going because of somebody else's ambition, somebody else's career? They use it as a tool to destroy the lives of some other persons. There are people that fell victim of last election, many people that have not recovered. There are many lives that have been affected and that have not regained the things they have lost. Of what benefit? What is in life? And who knows? We can only trust God that, yes, aside from the apathy, the noise, the distance, let the best candidate emerge. Not rooting for anybody, but let the best candidates and let the wishes of the people Let it reflect.
Man, thank you very much, Mr. Inka, for this explosive session. Hope to meet you some other time and to discuss
Nigeria. You know, I'm always a calling away.
Thank you
this
very much.
This project called Nigeria, it's our project. And yes, all of us, we have to play our role. I've had people who told me that there is nothing good that can come out of Nigeria. And I said, no, I don't believe that. A whole lot. We've not even started unleashing our potentials. Mm. Yes, I know. We're finding it out. The only issue we have is a leadership. If we get it right there, forget every other thing will fall in line. So, and I believe we will get there. We will get there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And that's it on this week's episode of The Insider. Thank you so much for listening, and please stick around for more exciting episodes. Also, subscribe to my channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Shout out to my sound engineer, Tom Lucky Media. Until I see you next time, I say stay lifted.